Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
About a third of childcare centres are now at risk of closing. This is a survey from Early Years Educators. And I know that finding childcare places is an enormous stress for so many parents. So I can't imagine how much worse this could potentially make things for people if it actually happens. Valerie Gaynor is on the line. Valerie's a manager of an early years service. Why are there so many at risk of closure, Valerie?
Hi, Andrea. I suppose our biggest problem is the recruitment and retention of staff at the moment. And this was really highlighted this morning in the launch of the survey by SIPTU, where I think 90% of respondents who were managers said that they found it either extremely difficult or very difficult to recruit staff.
You just won't be able to keep the doors open because you can't get the staff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a challenge nearly for every service at the moment. You know, I mean, personally, we do have enough staff. However, if somebody rings in sick and, you know, we work with young children, so people get sick, we don't have any backup. We've no relief panel. It doesn't exist, you know. We're required to have, you know, educators qualified to a minimum of level 5. They also need to be guard vetted. And it just doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's just not out there. So basically what needs to happen then is if you have a number of educators out sick, you have to close a room. You've no choice.
And then that call goes to the parents or the message the night before in the morning to say you can't bring the kids in.
It could even be our afternoon class. You know, we run sessional ECCE programs as well. And it could be a simple matter of having to ring the afternoon class parents at 10:30 to say your child's session won't be on today because we actually don't have enough staff to cover it.
It's about
on the day.
Yeah. Under the new regulations, employment regulations that came in last month, some workers have seen increases in the minimum rates of pay across a kind of a variety of different roles, including that of early years educators, about 13 to 13.65 an hour.
Yeah, it's not very much, is it? I suppose, you know, when you really look at it, it's still not even the living wage. It's a little bit too little, too late. And SIPTU have worked really, really hard with the employer bodies. It took a long time to get the 13.65 over the line, but it's still not enough. I mean, you know, how many people are going to go and study for a year for level 5, 2 years to get a level 6, and then go and work for 13.65 an hour? As well as having to maintain your professional development, you need to have first aid training. You need to do all the other health and safety training courses that are required. When you could just go and work in Tesco and earn more money for a lot less responsibility. And then, you know, we're losing a large amount of graduates, like with Level 8, to primary schools because they're actually getting more money and they're getting better terms and conditions working in primary schools as SNAs. So it's dismal, really, you know, unless we sort out the pay and conditions.
There's going to be more closures. About a third is what SIPTU is reporting. Are you yourself experiencing this, Valerie? Like, is it a possibility for you?
We advertise. We're advertising constantly for educators, you know, and we're not even getting applications. So if we get new members of staff, it's through word of mouth. You know, somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, because there's nothing coming in through the advertisements. We're getting people applying who have no qualifications, who aren't from Ireland, who can't work here. It's actually it's so disappointing because it's such a waste of administration time. When you do get applications, you get a notification and you go, oh, somebody's applied, and you go in and they haven't actually, it's nobody, you know, it's somebody who can't actually work in Ireland. And, you know, there's lots of different jobs boards for early years. There's, you know, Early Childhood Ireland have one. All the county childcare committees have them. There's lots of different Facebook platforms where there's groups for, you know, advertising for jobs. And they're full of job advertisements. There are pages and pages and pages, you know, and we're not getting the applicants. We're a high quality service and we're a really good place to work. You know, our staff are paid above the ERO 8, and we still can't get educators because across the board, the paying conditions are so poor.
Okay, so even by paying staff more. Yeah, because the living wage, not the minimum, but living wage is about 14.80, isn't it? So
yeah,
this is about €1.15 less than that.
And I think, I think it needs to be, the minimum rate coming in should be €15 per hour. You know, that's how we will attract people, to come and work with children. It's a big job.
Stay with us, Valerie, for a moment. I know an important job for a lot of our listeners who are thinking, what are they going to do if it's a case that a third of the childcare facilities close across the country? Elaine Dunn is the chairperson of the Federation of Early Childhood Providers. Is it as simple as just paying staff £15 an hour, Elaine?
No, unfortunately, it's not. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a large number of services close nationwide, and a lot of parents are now looking for places and they can't get them. Rural Ireland has taken a massive hit. And in Donabate, between Kilbarrick and Donabate, in the last week, they've lost 5 ECC services. South Dublin, Sandyford to Carrick Mines, we've lost 5 services. And that's all that we know of in the last week, that we can confirm that these services are actually gone. They're not being taken over.
Fully closed, Elaine.
Because I have closed rooms. I've absolutely closed rooms because we haven't. When staff go sick, you don't have the backup. I would agree with Valerie. The backup isn't there. But I will say that we ran a survey last year, and in that survey last year, 80% of our members at the time were paying over the €13. And we're actually running another survey now to see how much over the €13 are they paying. And is it, it's detrimental to some of their businesses. They can't pay any more money because the funding, government funding has let them down.
This is the thing though, Elaine, and maybe just explain this to me, because I don't have children in childcare, but I constantly listen to my friends tell me about how much they're paying, that they're paying nearly the guts of a second mortgage in Dublin, up in £1,500. So if we're paying childcare providers £1,500 or £1,600 a month for a child in a childcare facility, that same childcare facility is also getting funding from government. Where is the money
they're not
going?
The parents aren't, like they would also have their NCS. Okay, so NCS then will take, if their fees are 1,500, the NCS could cut it down by €400 or €500. And I actually spoke to a parent yesterday who was with a childminder who she was paying a large amount of money to, and she's actually moved her child into a creche. And because of NCS, she's now only paying €680 a month because of the NCS. So the NCS has helped parents out massively. So that thing about the mortgage, that is changing. And again, the NCS for, is going up again to €2.14 in September.
Is it a
case,
though?
So there's a massive change.
Is it a case that the childcare owners, the people who run the facilities, could they pay staff more and take more of a hit in the bottom
line?
They
can only pay them. So a lot of us, with our membership, a lot of our members are tied into with their ECC services only. Their fee freezes at 69. Since 2018. Then you have the providers, full daycares and part-time services, fee freezes, historical fee freezes dating back to 2016, 2017. So, you think about that. What in the name of God in this country is at the same price it was in 2017? Nothing.
I know, and you're probably listening to the pilots at Aer Lingus and you're...
Yeah, and we're watching that and we're saying, we're losing services, really high quality services. And we have parents now contacting us saying, what are we going to do? We can't get places.
Sure, that's the thing.
We're then putting it on our groups, trying to find places for them. There are no places.
Okay.
So you have the staffing retention problem. You also have the service closure problem. So now who's going to jump in now and try and save the sector that is in crisis?
I want to hear from some of the parents today. Maybe from, what did you say? You mentioned 6 facilities. Was it, Elaine, that closed in the past few weeks in Dublin?
There's 10. There's 10 down in Dublin
10.
Alone.
Right.
There's 5 between Kilbarrick and Donabate, which is a small area. Mm. There's 5 gone between Sandyford and Carrick Mines again, which is another small area.
So north
and there's
south.
Nowhere for those parents to go because a lot of the larger services do not take in.
Can't take
ECC
more on. Yeah,
I'd
love to talk to some of the parents.
They just won't.
Of the
they
children.
They won't take on a 3-hour session.
In those
so
10.
So parental choice is going.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Avril Sheenan is with us as well. Avril's from the Care a Lot Childcare in County Cork. Avril, what's the situation there with childcare facilities closing?
We've had 5 different services within a 40-kilometre radius after closing down in the last, I'd say, 2 weeks. So there's a huge problem. You asked, I just want to hit off 2 things that Valerie said. First of all, that SNAs are being paid more and that their terms and conditions are a lot better than we say a NAMES, which is the same or equivalent to an SNA. And actually, she's wrong there, because if you get on the Parent Teacher Council, they're being paid €13 an hour SNAs as is, right? That's what they start on. The second thing I wanted to touch base on, as in, she's saying €15, the same as SIPTU, saying that we should be able to pay our staff. Now, as Elaine said, over 80% of our members are paying between €1 and €2 more than the ERO stated rate. Now, if you actually consider that, right, a lead educator or a manager could earn between €36,000 and €42,000 a year. That's before me, as an employer, having to pay another €6,000 on top of that for hiring that member of staff. Now, that's not a bad salary. I'm only on that myself, and I'm the owner, director, and I've all the stress and all the strain of running that business. Absolutely. Most graduates of any other degree are going into companies and they're starting at a minimum wage of 33,000 upwards. So we're actually in line with many industries out there with degree-led staff. So I think, you know, we have to, you know, as in the, it's gone up to the last ERO rate, our base level was going from €13 to €13.65. But we're only getting a 4 cent increase, a 4 cent increase. So for me to come up with the extra 1,600 for one staff member, I have to take in 27 children. And where am I going to take them in? So at the end of the day, my wages should be less than, I think it's like 60 to 62% for me as a director to make a profit. And hey, I'm in the business to make money. Don't get me wrong. I started my business. Yeah, like anybody that goes into business to not make money, they're off their heads, right? So I have to, what was my point? What was I saying there? Actually, I just lost my train of thought there.
You were talking in, sorry, in Valerie, you did you want to come back in on that? You mentioned the €15 an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I think and what SIPTU are saying, like we would look for funding to be ring-fenced for wages, you know. This was tried at the core funding. However, you know, there was delays on the pay talks when the provider bodies delayed them by an extra year, which meant that the pay talks, the sector didn't get a pay rise last year, even though extra money was put into the sector to cover those pay rises. And the provider bodies...
where is this 4 cents? Where is the 4 cents? How is that going to cover my staff wages by going up 65 cents an hour? How is that actually going to cover it? My staff wages over my turnover of 2023, my staff wages were up at nearly 77%. So that's most of my intake.
Just let Valerie answer it. Valerie, do you want to answer that?
So we were asking for funding to be ring-fenced for staff wages and not to be used for anything else, because you're never going to sort the problem out if you don't have people working in the services to start with. You cannot operate a childcare service without staff. So unless people are paid a decent wage that they can live on, unless they're able to be able to afford to replace a washing machine when it breaks down, there is no system. There is no childcare services for parents to bring their children to. That has a knock-on effect on the whole economy. So until we get the basics right, which are the educators who are looking after the children on the ground in the services, well then we're going to keep going around in circles. We need to get it right, and we need to pay our educators a minimum of €15 per hour in order to attract and retain staff in the sector.
Karen Clintz is the founder of the Tigers Childcare. Karen, is this something you're battling with at the moment, the possibility of, you know, facing closures?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I suppose what we've seen since going to core funding is that there's been a profit margin squeeze. And I suppose it's not a business that's all about profits. The government's own report, the Partnership for Good report, states that, you know, centre by centre basis, these are not companies that make high profit margins. So what you're seeing, I suppose, is to see the cost of childcare for parents get less. We want to see quality rise. The only way that you're going to see both those things happen is if qualified individuals working in the sector that are paid properly. The reason we can't keep those people in the sector is they have no trajectory. They can't see where their careers are going. They can't see when they buy and they come in and they get a certain length of service and they move up in their qualifications. They can't see what the wage packet looks like. And so they leave the sector. And that's the, you know, the biggest issue in the sector is pay and conditions.
Okay.
However, there's only so much of a squeeze you can put on providers to cost that up. The government have excellent policies, but they're not funding those policies. And we're now at a stage where, with core funding year three, all of my full day care centres will be in loss. They'll be loss making. How do I keep the doors open in a loss making service? I'd love to be able to pay my colleagues more. I implemented the first pay scale before government did. I moved to the new ERO levels in May 2023 and have covered those for 13 months without government stepping in. What are my colleagues? How am I meant to say to them, actually, core funding year three gives me nothing extra. So for another year, I can't put up your wages. It's not fair on colleagues. And I agree with the SIFTU report, but where's the money going to come from? Because I don't have it to give.
Listen,
I have to keep quality services for my parents. I have to, you know, make sure that the children that come in are safe. Our core funding, core funding doesn't make any sense when it only funds the regulatory
standards. The government
will
say that there's never been as much provided in terms of the grant aid and the models that are there.
Their funding only provides 16% of my income, and their 15% increase is less than a 1% increase of total revenue line this year. I don't know what sector anyone is working in with inflationary levels of 5 and 6% year on year that a less than 1% revenue increase will cover the cost. It just doesn't cover it.
Listener makes
we have a 5% year on year squeeze since going into core funding. And really what the messaging has to be here, that this is a crisis point. We really are a crisis point.
Well, it will be a crisis if a third of the childcare facilities in this country shut. Like, can you imagine for the parents at home or in work or listening to us today, imagine the issue
Absolutely.
That's going to throw up for people.
And I tell you who, I tell you what people will be most affected by, the most marginalised, the people that need it the most, the people that are trying to pull themselves out. The children that need the protection and early intervention.
Okay, listener makes the point, childcare shouldn't be for profit at all. Should be fully funded by the state and the employees paid similar to teachers. Listener's wondering, why would you run a creche at all if it's not making any money? And just maybe finally, you might just advise this texter here, Karen. She says, my daughter is hoping to do a childcare course in September. Is it worth her while?
I would hope, I still live in hope that it will be. You know, we want to be established educators, but you know, I suppose people are staying in this sector because most of the sector are not like myself, multi-operators. There are individuals that love and care for the children that they care in their communities, and they're on their knees. And the only reason that we have closures is their dedication and care to the families they provide the care for. But the government's own report says they're not making money. And the government's own report said a fee freeze should have only lasted for a year. And we don't think parents should pay more. We think the government should be subsidising it more. They have to understand the cost of providing the service.
Karen Clintz, founder of the Tigers.
Doesn't understand that.
Childcare, Avril Sheenan from the Care A Lot Childcare in Cork. Elaine Dunn, who's the chairperson of the Federation of Early Childcare Providers. And Valerie Gaynor as well, who's a manager of an early year service. Thanks a million to you all for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.